Trustee Samuels?
Here.
Trustee Rozier?
Here.
Trustee Tolliver?
Here.
Trustee Scott?
Here.
Trustee Kerr?
Here.
Trustee Finney?
Here.
Do we have a quorum?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And verification, meeting notes?
Yes, the meeting notices were posted, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We have the previous minutes. Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion that the minutes of the previous meeting be accepted.
Second.
It's been properly moved in second.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. Okay, and now the chair will entertain a motion to recess for the purpose of board reorganization. We have an election of board officers. Am I incorrect on this agenda?
I move that we recess for the election of board officers.
Second.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Yes, we're in executive session. Reconvene the meeting and proceed with the board election in public. So the chair will entertain a motion to reconvene the session.
I make a motion to reconvene the meeting.
I second.
You have to know to come back in.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Finney? Trustee Finney?
Here, yes.
Okay.
Now you are. You all have, I believe, received a ballot. And please mark the ballot that you have received and pass it to the secretary. Mr. Irma.
You don't take nominees?
I'm sorry?
You don't take nominees? How do you know you have people's consent?
Who was willing and eligible to run?
I'm sorry?
Who was willing and eligible to run?
You have to nominate.
Yeah.
You have to nominate, because you don't know if people are willing or out.
Then the chair will entertain a motion to the chair is now open for nominations for the office of chairperson, for the office of vice chairperson, and for the office of secretary.
I have to take one.
I'm just going to make all count. And towards that end, let me say this: as the chairperson, my term is as of January 17th, and I have not been reappointed by the governor of the state of Illinois, who appointed me 6 years ago almost. So this chair will not entertain, and of course I have already served my two terms. So technically I couldn't be the chairman again anyway. But I also want to make it very clear that until I am reappointed, or unless I am reappointed, I don't believe it's up to me to seek any office. So please do not nominate me for vice chairman or secretary. Anyone else, of course, is free to use their own conscience and seek to be nominated. And so now the chair is open for nominees.
I would nominate Trustee Rozier as chair.
Okay. Any other nominations for chair?
I second the nomination for Trustee Rozier.
It's been seconded. Is there any other nominations for chair?
I also nominate Trustee Hill.
Then if there are no other nominations for chair, you may mark your ballots. I believe Duncan
I think if you can call for a vote. It's been, you've got a...
Yeah, balance.
Well, I think we should do this in an open session, by vote in public.
Okay.
So you've made a motion, someone's moved it, it's been properly seconded. Yeah, you close the nomination process, then you would call for a vote unless it's further discussion.
Okay, then the chair will entertain a motion to close nominations on as has been presented on one name, and that is trustee Rozier. All in favor?
There was a nomination.
There was a second nomination, I believe.
I'm sorry?
I believe trustee Kier nominated trustee Hill.
Was there a second? I didn't hear a second.
Trustee Hill? Did you, I thought you said... Oh.
Just deal with the chair.
Okay.
So you would draw that?
I withdraw that.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just dealing with the chair. So the chair is open to close nomination on one name. All in favor of closing nominations, please signify by the sign of...
Does she have to call?
Yes, you have to call a roll.
Roll call. Okay, trustee Samuels.
And this is in favor of trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Yes.
It is closing the nominations.
Oh, closing the nominations.
Yes.
Yes, I...
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Kerr.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. Okay, now, I think if that's the case, then we could have an unanimous ballot, right?
You could call a roll call for election?
And now that means we will call on a roll, we'll have a roll call for the election of the chair. Please.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Kerr.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. So trustee Rozier is the chair going forward at the next election, and let's give him a round of applause. Trustee Rozier will assume the chair for the first meeting in 2011. That then brings us to the next office, and that is the office of vice chair.
I'd like to nominate trustee Scott.
I second that.
I would like to nominate trustee Hill.
Is there a second to trustee Hill?
I second that.
It has been, okay, we have now two nominees. Is there a third? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion to close the nominations on those two names. Please call a roll.
Trustees...
No, we need a second.
I think you had a second.
No, I didn't have a second to close the nomination.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I second the nomination close.
It's been properly moved to second to close the nomination. Please have a roll call.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Kerr.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes. And now, we will have the first nominee, who was trustee Zane Scott, who has been placed in nomination to be considered for vice chair. And would you like to say anything before, since we have two candidates before us, would you like to say anything, trustee?
I could just say that I'm very interested in the position. Having come to Chicago State and served on the board, I have enjoyed my tenure. I consider it to be a higher calling of public service. I grew up not too far from here. I still live on Chicago's South Side and believe that this institution is an important part of our community, and I feel that it's a privilege to serve in a capacity as a trustee. I am an attorney. I have led a public institution in that I was the former Inspector General for the state of Illinois and Office of the Governor. In that capacity, I was also the Inspector General for Chicago State University for a period of 2 years. So I became familiar with the institution in that respect. And I would be honored to serve as Vice Chair of the Board.
Okay. Trustee Hill is not with us. Is there, would the nominee or the person who nominated her ever care to speak on her behalf?
I'll actually withdraw my nomination. I've changed my mind.
You Changed your mind?
I have.
Okay. Well, then we...
Then I withdraw my second.
Probably you have. I'm sorry.
She withdrew her second.
So that then leaves us with a roll call on Trustee Zee Scott. Please.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Kerr.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
All right. I think that that means...
Secretary.
It means that Trustee Zee Scott. That then brings us to the final office, and that is the Office of Secretary of the Board.
I'd like to ask our legal counsel a question.
Yes.
Can the student trustee be an officer of the board?
I actually don't know the answer to that. I'd have to, Patrick, do you know the answer to that?
I would decline, actually. only because I have other organizational obligations outside of here.
Okay. That ended that.
Thank you for helping me out with that legal question.
But I will check that for you.
Well, check
yeah,
it.
I will check
it.
Forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to nominate Trustee Hill.
I'll second the nomination.
Other nominees for the Office of Secretary?
I'd like to nominate Trustee Butler.
I second it.
We have, I would like to say that I did receive a email blast from Trustee Butler. And she advised me that, to advise all of you that unfortunately she came down with the flu and would not be able to be with us today, and wished us all well. I think I have it right here. I'm sorry to do this, but I woke this morning with a pretty bad cold flu chills, nausea, the worst. I will not be able to make today's board meeting. Please extend my apologies to Dr. Watson, Dr. Finney, and the entire board. Signed, Lisa Morrison Butler. So she's not with us. The nominations do it. Does the chair have a motion? Have we closed the nominations?
Yes.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to close the nominations on those two names. It will be Trustee Hill and Trustee Butler.
I would move to close the nominations.
Has been a motion?
Second.
It's been properly moved and second. I will say this so that I'm just fair. Trustee Hill had a emergency, not be with us. She did open her meeting with academic affairs this morning, and then she had to rush off to a meeting.
Trustee Samuels? We're closing.
Oh, yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Which one are we voting?
Closing.
We're closing.
Okay. Yes. And now we'll take the first nominee, first, and that was, I believe, Trustee Hill. Hold on for a second.
Unless she was reappointed, she wouldn't be eligible to serve in that position.
No, but I think that she may not. She may be in the same position I'm in, mm-hmm. And now that she cannot succeed herself.
Yeah, she served two terms.
Yeah. She cannot succeed herself.
She served two terms as vice
secretary.
Chair.
Secretary.
Secretary.
Yeah.
I said, oh, okay. Yeah. She was vice chair.
Yeah. So I think that what I wouldn't want us to do
chair.
Is something that we couldn't.
She's
do.
She was the chair prior to you.
She was the chair prior to me. And then when I became chair, she was the secretary for the board. And as I am precluded, as all of us are precluded from serving, from succeeding ourselves more than once, Trustee Hill cannot succeed herself again.
But it's a different position.
Same position.
She's currently the secretary.
Oh, it's the secretary.
She's currently the secretary.
I see, two terms, okay.
Right, she's to serve two terms as the chairperson. And she served with two terms as the secretary, as I have served two terms as the.
Okay, well, then I will withdraw my nomination of trustee.
She's ineligible.
She's ineligible.
Yep.
Okay, so that being the case, the nomination has been withdrawn, I think that for trustee Hill, that then leaves us with voting on the nomination of trustee Lisa Morrison Butler. Roll call.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. That then, it seems to me, let's give trustee Lisa Morrison. Let me say this on behalf of the board, of trustees, to those of you who assembled. I think that this is an important opportunity for us to move forward. The governor appointed four outstanding new members of the board, and those of us who served, some of us have served 6 years, Dr. Tolliver and I have served 6 years, and trustee Hill, I believe, has been on this board almost 12 years. So, I think towards that end, we have done, I think that we've served this, the offices, outgoing offices, I believe have served the board well, and I certainly appreciate the stalwart effort that was put forth by my fellow colleagues on this board. In particular, I would like to single out Dr. Tolliver. Dr. Tolliver effectively ran this board of trustees. When I say effectively, I mean it was his job to make sure that we got through this election process for our new president. And towards that end, most of the meetings that we held in order to effect that change at the most senior, most staff level of the organization, it was he that guided this organization with calmness and compassion and forever always intellectually competent and able to bring a presence on this board. I think that was helpful and got us through it. And so, as chairperson, matter of fact, when he was doing most of that, I was not even the chair. I was chairman of the Academic Affairs Committee. And I just want to say to him personally, on behalf of my fellow colleagues, how much we appreciated your effort this last term, in particular when to guide us through a very, very difficult time. Thank you so much, Mr. Bishop. And now I'm advised that we must move forward with the agenda. Trustee Rozier has indicated, trustees, has indicated that he will be challenged to be with us past Rozier.
description reads.
Chicago State University is grateful to Reverend Dr. Leon Finney Jr. for your vision and leadership as chairman of the Board of Trustees from 2008 to 2010, December 10th, 2010.
There it is. Thank you all, and it's always good to be surprised, especially with a nice gift and to the artist. It's an outstanding work of art, and I will treasure it for many, 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 many years. I was about to say that Trustee Rozier has a challenge. He's going to be in a meeting by 2, am I right?
That's right, 2:30 now.
By 2:30. And so are you requesting that we go into executive session to sort of discuss other matters so that you can participate?
That's right.
So Trustee Rozier has asked us to, requested of us, I should say, to alter our agenda and to go into executive session to discuss personnel and legal matters now. The chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we go into executive session.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. We're back in session. Yeah, I think we can. Dr. Watson, you are up to bat. You have.
You got to approve the scheduled meetings.
I'm sorry?
Number 6.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We have approval of our meeting schedule. As you see, it's before you. The next meeting would be March 11, 2011, then May 13, 2011, then June 24, 2011, then September 23, 2011, then December 9, 2011. Chair will entertain a motion.
That we accept the dates.
It's been moved. Is there a second, please?
I second.
It's been properly moved to second. Roll call.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. Okay. Then we are here for the president. Mr. President?
Okay, thank you very much. This past 3 or 4 months, we have Area 24 is the area for 12 of the high schools surrounding Chicago State University. And we were able to establish a partnership with Area 24, where all 12 high school principals and 500 of their parents and seniors, for the first time, came to Chicago State University for a dinner. And it was a two-hour, two-hour articulation agreement between those 12 high schools in Chicago State. We established a very strong partnership and articulation relationship with them. And as a result of that, other area high school areas within Chicago have now reached out to us and requested that we work with them and establish a similar type of agreement. We also are in the final throes of establishing an articulation agreement with City Colleges of Chicago on the physician assistant program. It would be a master's degree program in physician assistant. This is a program that is pays approximately starts out between $80,000 on up to $107,000, but the students will start at City Colleges of Chicago and finish at Chicago State University with a master's degree in physician assistant. A third one is the articulation agreement we're establishing with the City Colleges of Chicago. And it's one that that is really going to allow a bridge that will make it possible for more and more students to attend the City College, Chicago State University. The last two items I'd like to touch on took place in this quarter, and that is, there's a letter that is being sent out. We met with all of the legislators who graduated from Chicago State University. The first time a meeting had ever taken place of this type. And it's about 10 legislators. We met with them, and after we met with them, they were so pleased, they asked for two things. They said, one, can we have another meeting like this at least twice a year? And two, you need to tell this to other people. So as a result, we sent out a letter on December 3rd to all of the state legislators telling them of our accomplishments. This letter has gone out to all state legislators, has gone out to the foundation board members, it's gone out to the alumni, about 100 of our alumni, and I believe we sent a copy to all of the board members also. It was December 3rd, stating the accomplishments for the last year that the team has made. And I guess the last item is during this last 4 months, I turned in my presidential evaluation to Trustee Hill. There appeared to have been a slight glitch. I turned it in on time, but when I talked to my Trustee Hill, it turned out that there was a computer problem. She didn't get it. We then submitted to her, and I think I talked to her shortly after that, and her response was, would I mind putting some more metrics in my performance evaluation? I did that. She and I talked, and she stated, Wayne, it looks good. I'll get back to you if I have any other questions. Other than that, sir, that's been my last 3 to 4 months.
Thank you very much. Any questions to the president as to his report? Here are none. The chair will entertain a motion to receive the president's report. It's not an action item. We want to honor him with.
Make a motion to receive the president's report.
Been moved. Is that a second, please?
Second.
Been probably moved to second. Roll call.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. Okay. That then moves us to CSU commercial. Did we cover that already? And the president? Who's handling that? CSU commercial? Is that an item? Okay. Then iPad update?
Oh, it's a commercial.
It's a DVD.
You have dreams.
Yes, sir.
In order for you to realize your dreams, you need to walk across that stage with this role, which you have worked so hard for. Congratulations, Sophia.
Thank you, sir.
Call today to enroll at Chicago State University and pursue your dreams and work with some of the nation's top educators and leaders of tomorrow.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. President. Good.
That commercial was shot with Irma, what's the name of the gentleman? Mr. Stroud? Mr. Stroud?
Yes.
He came in, he shot it. We have got very positive response on that commercial. We have really gotten a lot of positive response on it.
I have a question. Yes. Has it been submitted already to AIR or no?
Yes.
Would there be other commercials made, or would there be an additional editing process?
No, there will. We're shooting next week to reshoot that entire thing because we saw some things in it that we were not pleased with, and it's being reshot next week.
Is there any way I can be a part of the committee before it goes out on air?
Yep.
Because there's some things I'd like to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very much so. Just the final thing. The letters that were sent to the legislators, I have copies of. We're sending another group out, and these are copies of some of the additional letters that we're sending to the different legislators and alumni, in case anybody would like to see them.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. The iPad update. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, trustees. For the record, I am C. Cole Dillon, the Chief Information Officer. On November 2nd, we conducted an assessment survey of the freshmen, and we asked them a variety of questions with respect to the iPad as part of the charge that we were given by the Board of Trustees in committing to this program. And we had a very high participation rate. There were only, for all of the questions, there were only 5 students who didn't answer. But we learned some interesting things with respect to this program. We learned that it did influence students' decision to come to Chicago State. They were going to come anyway. We also learned that students have a lot of technology that they use. They use computers, laptops, cell phones, smartphones with browsing capabilities, scanners, and printers. We asked them about whether or not they had internet access at home. 61% of them do have internet access at home, and 88% of them were enrolled in a freshman seminar. The freshman seminar is key because it was through the freshman seminar where we incorporated curriculum related to using the iPad, and 88% of them were enrolled in the freshman seminar. As part and parcel of this process, the provost is engaged in quite a process of ensuring that all of the freshmen are enrolled through block scheduling next semester in appropriate classes. So we worked on that. We asked them how many hours a day did they spend working on a computer, and more than half spent less than 3 hours a day working on a computer. So that was sort of an interesting outcome for this generation. We asked them what did they do. Homework came up high, but also Facebook, Skype, a lot of reading, research. Those were the primary answers that they gave us. We asked them to self-rate their technical skills, and less than half of the students rated themselves as highly technically skilled. So more than half thought that their technical skills were not superior. We asked them whether or not they thought that Chicago State should continue to provide iPads to freshmen, and only 22% of them said no.
22% said no?
Said no. And then we asked them how likely were they to return to Chicago State, and 8% said they probably will not return. 2% said that they would definitely not be returning, and the rest said that they either were definitely returning or they probably would return. So we have a high return rate. We asked them how were they using their iPads. And so 45% of them said that they were using them to take notes during class. 60% of them said they used it to listen to music. 70% of them said they used them to search for information on the web. 46% said that they used them to keep a calendar. 21% said that they used it to look up articles from the library. 50% said that they used them to play games. 52% of them said that they used Moodle to access coursework, and that's a course management system that's used here at the university. 54% of them said that they used it to update Facebook or similar sites. 30% said that they used them to download and read textbooks or other books. 19% said they used them to write papers, and 26% of them said that they used them to maintain address books and contact information. So just bear in mind those percentages are across the group that's surveyed and they're not intended to be cumulative. When we asked them were they able to connect their iPad to the internet in their freshman seminar classes, 24% of them said no. And that is understandable in light of the fact that we know that we have to upgrade the wireless service and we have engaged in that process.
How many said yes?
24% of them said no. The other, 56% of them said yes, and the others didn't answer the question.
Excuse me, you're giving us the percents, but I'd like to know exactly how many surveys were completed. And I'm assuming the surveys were for every student who was to be or was it who accepted an iPad, right?
Yes, and I can't tell you because I don't have that in this report. I'd have to tell you separately.
All right, I would like to know that though.
Okay, sure.
Yes, I would too.
Okay. So to conclude this report, that probably the last question of significance was to what degree does your freshman seminar instructor encourage your use of the iPad? 32% said they were often encouraged to use their iPad. 23% said that they were frequently encouraged to use their iPad. 15% said they were encouraged to use their iPad sometimes. 5% said that they were rarely encouraged to use their iPad. And 3% said that they were never encouraged to use their iPad. So that's sort of the statistical portion. There were comments that were made, going through the here, and in general, students continuously make comments. This is great to have. It helps me check on my grades. It helps me check on my student bill. It helps me get my homework done. It helps me stay on track with the calendar. So those were the nature of the comments that were made. That's my report. Are there any other questions?
Thank you very much. So what do you conclude? What's your opinion? I mean, you've assembled, you've conducted the survey, so what do we think now about, in a broad brushstroke, about the iPad?
I'm actually very encouraged by this report. We came together with this project in a very short period of time, and it took a lot of effort by a lot of parties to come together to support this project. So for faculty members, very close to the semester, they had to adapt their teaching plans to incorporate this device, and they did so. So my expectation is that this program will get better and get stronger. We're not having negative reaction from students. They are embracing it, they are enjoying it. And they also, just in general, seem to believe that it's an investment that the university is making in them. And that seems to make them feel better about themselves. So there's a whole intangible component to this that I just didn't expect, that's separate and apart from the idea that technology can be used. I think as we go forward and we can incorporate much better reduction in the cost of textbooks because we can incorporate e-material in the classroom, and I think it takes some time to get that done. But I think we will really see some major boost for students. It's kind of hard to explain, but you know, if you read something online, and you know, when I was a student, I took a whole lot of yellow notes. And at the end of the semester, when I got rid of my books, it had all my yellow notes in it, but I never went back and read them. What these devices do is they index them. So you can go back and stick your finger on it. It takes you right back to what you highlighted. Or you can stick your finger on a word, and it will define that word for you as you're reading it. So I expect that it will help over time improve students' reading ability, their word capacity, their ability to use words better, because it's easy now to have a word explained to you while you're reading something and you don't have to go get a separate dictionary to have that happen. So I think it's a great program. I think it will get better over time, and I think we've had a great result in the short run.
One final question.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go.
I see we have Dr. Green here. And I think that, if I'm correct, Dr. Green, you were one of your roles is the freshman experience.
Yes.
So, and do you mind if I ask Dr. Green a question? Are you getting any feedback, anecdotal feedback from freshmen about the iPad?
My experience, I actually did assist with each of the projects that we mentioned, the freshman seminar, the distribution, the research survey that was designed. And so I'm able to say very confidently that the students that I have interacted with, the students that have shared with me, that I have met with, and have interacted with my office, have had positive feedback about being awarded an iPad, shown excitement about what they can do with it. I think that the CIO led an effort to talk about all of the free apps that the students could get. I think that took them to another level in terms of their ability to use it and find ways to have it connect with their technology, academic experience, personal experiences. So I feel positive that it was a good project that the university launched and should be.
Thank you.
Yeah, just one final question. What percentage of the faculty are using the iPad?
You know, I can't tell you that in an absolute number, but the faculty who are teaching freshman seminars, so we passed out approximately 60 iPads, and I think there's nearly 500 faculty members. So,
how many?
Well, 400 is the whole bargaining unit.
Okay, so. So 60 out of 400, a little bit more than 10%.
I think all of the goal objectives you mentioned are admirable. It might be helpful going forward to have some quantifiable information of how this enhances the academic mission. In other words, look at the students who have these. How do their grades compare with previous freshman classes that don't have it? Just to see, in fact, how these are being utilized to enhance the academic mission. And I'm not asking you to answer that because you don't have the information.
I was going to say we don't have grades yet, but I can tell you that I mentor a freshman student, and as her foreign language class, she's taking Chinese. And so I was able to do a couple of things for her. One was to download a free app that translated from English to Chinese. The other was to show her how she could get free Chinese lessons on iTunes University that were being taught at her level in other universities, so it was extra practice. And then I showed her how to download a free whiteboard so that she could practice character writing. And I'm very proud to say that I believe my mentee is gonna finish this semester with a 4.0 average.
Wow. Okay. I have a question, Dr.
Fayette. Yes.
One thing I'd be interested in would be to have maybe a survey for the faculty to see what they think the benefits are, or you know how it's working for them, and how useful it is, and what might make it better, if anything. But that kind of is the student survey, but the faculty survey too, to get that in. Okay.
I'd just like to address the board on one thing pertaining to the iPads. I don't see anyone here from Judicial Affairs, but there might have been one or two instances where you had to deal with some type of theft or this and the other, and I just want to commend Judicial Affairs for setting a zero tolerance policy for anyone who steals or destroys or, you know, does anything to anyone else's iPad. They basically sent a message that not only will you not be allowed to be here, but it is a zero tolerance policy. So because of that, we have had a very small amount of these iPads being taken, stolen, or destroyed.
That's correct.
Well,
Mr. Chairman?
I don't know if...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just wanted to comment. With regards to the iPads, we are working with IIT. As you are aware, IIT, they also gave out iPads to their freshmen, and we're working with their faculty. They are also going through a learning process. There's a learning curve of how you integrate this technology into the curricula. No one has the silver bullet yet. So we are like in the cutting edge of learning how to do it, and IIT faculty are meeting and have met with our faculty, and we plan to continue to meet to share notes as to how we can come up with a more efficient means of delivering our services to our students utilizing this.
And we're also engaging with Apple for professional development. So we are learning from them as they learn across the country with best practices.
Well, thank you very much. I don't want to drag this out, but I would say this, that I was so impressed with Chicago State using the iPad that I elected to buy one myself. And as such, at least five of the senior executives of my staff of about 70 are using the iPad now. And I use it every day, all day. It is a wonderful means of communicating and sending and retrieving information, especially if you have a variety of activities to keep track of. Matter of fact, when I was in counsel's office the other day, I had my iPad with me taking notes. So it's a good device, and I think that for those of you who don't know, The Economist magazine noted that the technology that was the technology in 2010 was the iPad. That is worldwide. So, again, thank you so much, and let's move forward. We've got some action items that are coming up. I'm here to, we're here for Trustee Hill's board meeting. I don't know if anyone wants to make a comment. We got a thorough review of her report. Her report was a fine and excellent report. I think that maybe if the student may want to have a comment. If she does, she's certainly welcome to comment on the academic and affairs report. If not, we'll just move right on. Good. That's a good student. We have a number of action items, and they all fall under Trustee Z. Scott's watch on finance, and so I'm going to ask her to present the resolutions, and let's get on with
Chair, we had a very detailed and extensive meeting of the Finance and Audit Committee, and several resolutions were presented for our consideration. The board did receive copies of these resolutions in advance of our meeting. I'm just going to summarize what they are. And the bond refinancing resolution would refinance a certain category of our existing bonds in order for us to take advantage of the historically low rates. The pharmacy department was looking for received approval from the committee for a tuition increase to accommodate that program. There was a pharmacy fee increase that was approved by the committee. That to date, there had been no specific fees within that department, and the fees will be used to finance a process for which there's no current funding. There was a approval of a occupational therapist resolution based on a grant from the federal government. And I don't recall the legislative language changes.
Here it is.
That might be another resolution from, was that from Mr.?
For capital improvement.
Yeah, that was facilities committee. But with regard to A through D, I would move that we approve those resolutions.
It is moved, and is there a second?
I second.
It is properly moved and second, that we approve all of the action items resolutions. A, bonding, B, pharmacy tuition increase, C, pharmacy fee increase, D, occupational therapist. We'll take item E in the next round. Roll call.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. And so ordered. And for this final, the legislative language for capital improvements, and it says and reads, whereas the Chicago State Board of Trustees has approved at its December 10th meeting the president's recommendation of the legislative language changes to the House bill, to the House bill. Such language changes would reallocate the amounts for and redefine scopes of work for certain capital development board construction projects. Whereas, for the construction project student financial outreach building, that is to say 8140100064, amend language by deleting for the construction of student financial outreach building and replace with for Americans with Disabilities Act compliance upgrades. Therefore, be it resolved that the board approves the legislative language change in relation to the affected capital project as just noted. Chair will entertain a motion.
I'd move that we approve the resolution.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved. Roll call.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. Okay. That then leaves us with facilities. There were no action items on facilities, nor were there any action items under legislative and human services. It then brings us to the Civil Service Merit Board.
Civil Service Merit Board met in November, considered several personnel issues, appeals from other universities, and they were resolved. None related to Chicago State.
Good. Then that gives us to the there's no foundation report. Student trustee, Trustee Kerr.
All right. Residence halls. For a while now, it was not a requirement for students entering the dorms to have a criminal background check performed before their application was approved. Not only was this a liability to the school, but also an issue of safety for our students living in the residence hall. After speaking to Chief Watson about this concern, it was communicated that the sentiments were shared and that the department had already begun working on implementing background checks for both criminal and sexual offenses. There would also be a review committee that would make the ultimate decision depending on circumstances as to whether the applicant would be accepted to live in the dorms or not. This is because we understand and are sensitive to the fact that all situations are not simply black and white. This will hopefully be brought up with the upcoming spring 2011 semester. The police department is also in the process of implementing a new electronic fingerprinting system called LiveScan. This will assist in making these background checks easier to conduct while expediting the process as well. In terms of class availability, if a class is required for a particular major in order to meet graduation criteria, it becomes an issue for students when that particular class is only offered every other semester or not at least twice at two different times in the day during a semester. A student should not have to postpone their expected graduation date because they are forced to wait for the next semester in an available seat when they have met all their criteria. Chicago State University is an institution made up predominantly of non-traditional and commuter students. Some work all day, then come here. Others only have time in the day to attend school, and this then must care for their households at night. It is highly inconvenient for the demographic of students on this campus not to offer certain courses more conducive to their needs. As a result, many of the students are enrolling in other colleges and universities to take those classes due to overfill or not enough sections, and having the credits transferred here as well. Another issue is, even though some sections have been added, because a lot of the science students are competing with some of the same classes for those in the nursing program, we're finding more students are complaining about there still not being enough required courses for certain majors. Also, people have been saying wonderful things about the fact that the new science labs that have been built in the Science Center are excellent. Students feel like they are now being invested in, and that CSU is actually showing that it cares and wants students to be able to compete at an international level. In regards to certain classes not being enough, one student made a suggestion that maybe if there were more online required classes, then that would satiate the need if there aren't enough staff available. There have also been complaints about advising and registration. Unfortunately, there seem to be a growing number of students who are upset because they feel they have been misadvised by advisors during the registration process. The purpose of an advisor is to assist the student as they matriculate, making sure that they need courses and do not take unnecessary ones for their particular program. The PIN system, in which only an advisor can give or enter or register the student, makes it so that students cannot register themselves at will or without the permission of the advisor for the particular classes that that student wishes to take. The recent issue with this is that many of these students feel that these are the ones who are complaining about being misadvised. They feel that they've reached the 120 credits for graduation or are almost there, but are being told they're still not eligible because of the portion of their credits doesn't count towards their major. Essentially, students are upset because they feel, one, their time and money was wasted on a course they really didn't need. Two, what is the point in having to check in with an advisor for registration when, one, you can be misadvised, and two, the what if portion of a student's degree evaluation on CSU Express will show a student what exactly they need to meet as far as criteria for graduation, and thirdly, that each department has printed a list of courses where you can get a list of things that you need to graduate from. So this, in addition to the new entrance of the library system, which people are complaining about not working properly and it taking a large amount of time to even get into the library because everyone has to sign in because the swiping isn't working, those are some of the things that students have brought to me.
Okay. No comments? Thoughts? Okay. No action item there. We've already handled employment, legal matters, and collective bargaining matters. That brings us to the final item, I believe, and that is public and employee comments. Are there any? Doctor?
I would hope you could set your watch by my consistency. For the record, Philip Beverly, history, philosophy, political science. Three things I wanted to share with you today. First, launching a pilot study around emergency management to sort of measure the distance between preparedness and perceptions of preparedness. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, we've satisfied all our requirements, but if the people who are directly impacted by that don't believe that we're prepared, then the reality is we're not prepared, because perception is reality. The Department of Education just closed a ruling about Virginia Tech and their handling of their shooting in 07, and said that they were actually in violation of the Clery Act. And I would just advise us to be mindful that there are federal and state laws around emergency management that have implications for us, and if we're not gonna be aware of them, bad things can happen. One of my colleagues asked me why, if we've got they saw IPIM, Illinois Professional Emergency Manager. It's a program run by the Illinois Emergency Management Agency to certify people in the field. And there have been about 150 people in Illinois certified since 2002. Three of them are actually at colleges and universities in the state, so it's really rare to have one at a university or a college. And why the one that works at Chicago State actually isn't being used for emergency management activities. And I said, I couldn't tell you. And so maybe that's something we need to sort of take a look at. Secondly, campus climate. I talked to a number of people around the university and the university community, and there's some concerns about personnel turnover. The rumor that was addressed by my chair, but I didn't see it addressed at any higher level, about sort of possibility of missing payroll at the end of the month, the fear of retaliation. The climate at the university seems to be a little unsteady in my view, and in I think some other folks' views. And I know that we're doing some surveys. I know there's some surveys up on CSU Express. I know Gerald Henderson is doing a campus climate survey as well. I would just hope that whatever the results of those are sort of carefully examined. And I also find it a little ironic, if we're doing any kind of human subject testing, that the Institutional Review Board was involved. I don't know if they were or not. I'm just sort of curious about that. I would imagine that the campus climate could be improved if the last thing I wanted to talk about, which is shared governance, was more embedded in the fabric of the university. I'd like to really thank Trustee Samuels for coming out to a faculty meeting some weeks ago and getting some feedback from faculty members on the ground about some of the stuff that's sort of happening at the university. I got from my colleagues that we don't expect you to necessarily change what you're doing or change your mind, but it's about full disclosure, and so that you have a more balanced approach and being able to address the issues that you have to make really hard decisions on and be responsible for. The Faculty Senate has formed a shared governance committee. Part of its charge is going to be to invite administrators to come and explain some things about what's going on, because faculty seems in many instances to be the last people to know about some things. I'll give you some examples of some concerns. The scheduling at physical plant, we get a memo that elevators are going to go down